time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
And our expert in studio this morning, we have Joel Gratz with Christensen PLLP. And Joel, good to see you again. Hard to believe it's only mid-February yet. It feels more like, at least late March or almost April out there the last few days.
Yeah, this weather has been just fantastic. We're blessed with this kind of winter, I guess. I know the ice fisher guys are probably bummed out. I don't think it's very safe anymore on the lake. And I only got the sled out, I think, for about 8 hours one weekend, and then the snow was gone. So When we were kids, Bill, we could count on snow every winter and several feet, you know. And I just don't see it anymore.
But. Yeah, and I know they've got all sorts of records that they have been keeping. And it isn't just around here either. There's other places where winter just isn't like it used to be. And it does affect a lot of things. And, you know, and I think economy is one of them, that there's plenty of places, whether it's some, resort in the Swiss Alps or whatever, that depends on skiing revenue. Now they're going to have to probably look for some other ways to stay in business.
Yeah, that's always the bummer, I guess, when you rely upon something you can't control, the weather. Just like farming, for that matter, too. But every year we just take what we get, and we're happy with it. And I think a lot of people are happy it isn't so cold. That was kind of nice. But it'd be nice to have a little snow. Why New York and the East Coast gets all the snow these last few winters, I don't know, if a little shift in the weather pattern, but it is what it is.
Before we get on to the topic, as long as we're talking weather, though, I tell you what, the upper part of California, I know they had some evacuations now because of a large dam that might give way, but the drought, which has been going on 5 or 6 years, severe drought, appears to have been broken. They have had like 6 weeks of rain there, and I know they had the golf tournament at Pebble Beach, and it was amazing how green everything looked, not just at the golf course either, but the aerial shots. And so that's some good news that maybe is one of these things that's being underreported because it's maybe not in line with some people's idea what's happening with the climate. But that, to me, it's very good news to hear that, because that state produces such tremendous amount of produce.
Yeah,
you know, that really not only feeds us here in the winter, but much of the world. So
You know, and you wonder where all the irrigation comes from,
right?
You know, if there's been a drought,
it's got to come from somewhere, and a lot of it's been out of the Colorado River. But
Which worries you a little bit, I guess, back to the balance of the ecosystem. But good news to hear.
Hopefully,
I guess
those reservoirs are getting, and I know they've had a ton of snow up in the mountains too.
Yeah.
So
Hopefully
that'll be a better scenario there for those people, at least.
Right. And we've got moisture. I mean, for the spring, we got plenty of moisture for the guys to get the crop in the spring, no question. And if we do get any rain in the spring, it might be a disaster just how wet it was this fall. So, I mean, again, not complaining, you know, that we don't have snow or moisture. We certainly seem to get the moisture when we need it. But we'll wait and see what the spring brings.
Yeah, just for, like you say, from a recreational or kind of traditional standpoint, we kind of grew up with that, you know. You get snow in the winter and it'll be here for several months usually, you know, but not the case lately anyway.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your topic today, and I think it's a good thing to lead off with here. I think it was like, was it the second or third day of session? They already announced that they had reached agreement on making Minnesota that it would conform with the federal taxes, because that's something that had been held up, I know, in some previous sessions where you guys as tax preparers kind of had your hair, or you were pulling out your hair a little bit. Let's get with the program here.
Well, it's been many years where either the federal or the state has waited to what I'd say the 12th hour, and literally with no time to spare, passing bills. And ironically, to give you some history on what Governor Dayton signed on the 13th of January of this year, they were, again, like you said, making the federal laws that were either made permanent or changed with the Federal PATH Act, Protecting Americans Against Tax Hikes, which the President Obama signed on December 18th, 2015, Bill, and that's a 5, not a 6, so, I mean, it's 2015. So it took that long for our state legislators to, and their governor, to agree on complying with some of the federal provisions. And again, I say some. I think the media, you know, and probably the governor's office really wanted to play this up that we're really conforming to all, and they're in fact not. And that's the unfortunate news that I wanted to kind of spread here today. So they did make this, when they signed it in January of 17, they made it retro back for tax year 2015.
Okay.
And when listeners and taxpayers hear that, the first thing is, what do I do? I've already filed my return, obviously. I mean, we're already a year out from that point. What's the program? Should I talk to my CPA? What should I do? Should I call the Minnesota Department of Revenue? And the state was very clear that they said they will handle this, and anybody who has a change that will positively impact them, meaning they'll get a refund, they will take care of that themselves, they being the government, and then send a refund check for 2015 automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't anticipate seeing that until probably late March or April, if then, knowing that we're already into the next filing season. You follow me? We're doing our 16 taxes now.
Yeah.
So we're not really sure how they're going to get it all done. With any governmental situation, I'm a little skeptic on how, you know, they're going to get this all done and it's actually going to be accurate. Sorry. So we're a little concerned about that. So we are recommending to our clients, once you get these checks in the mail, the letters in the mail, certainly cash them. Don't hold them. But bring the letter in so we can just make sure that it's done right. The provisions that they changed are numerous, but they are not very, what should I say, the normal. There's a lot of unique provisions that only impact so few people on the federal level, for one, and two, on the state side, so it's not a huge impact. Again, I'm not trying to lessen. It was a good step forward for where we need to go, I think, and on the state side of our taxes, but by no means, in my opinion, do they make it exactly the same as federal, because there's so many differences between federal and state. A lot of people would be shocked at that. A few of the things, I only wrote down about four or five of them that actually I think were worthwhile, because we don't see very many of the other ones in our office. The first one, again, this is retro back to January 1, 15 going forward. The first one is, if you had a son or daughter going to college and you elected to do the tuition deduction, which is up to $4,000 as an adjusted gross income deduction, in the past, you would not be able to take that for Minnesota. Well, now you can. Okay, again, a small deal, but for those who did utilize that, it is available. If you itemize your deductions on the federal side, the Schedule A, again, if you have mortgage insurance that you're required to have with your mortgage, on the federal side, you are allowed to deduct them. Whereas if you are on the state side in the past, you could not. Now, an average taxpayer may have $700 to $1,500 of insurance premiums. Mm-hmm. So, again, not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. But now, at least, it's a difference between federal and Minnesota.
But you have to itemize in order to claim that.
But you have to itemize, which, again, only about half of our clients do. So you can see, Bill, it's not a huge dramatic impact. Generally speaking, there are some people who are going to win big, but it's very few, put it that way. On the federal side, there's a deduction for school teachers where if they have supplies out of their own pocket, it's capped at $250 per year. They, in the past, Minnesota did not allow that deduction. Now they do. So a lot of our teachers had differences on that, which, again, seems, you know, why Minnesota would not conform to that earlier, I don't know, but now they are. So at least there isn't a change there. Now, the one win that does impact our folks who are over 70 and a half, the Federal PATH Act made the qualified charitable distribution exclusion permanent. And this is where if you have your required minimum distributions from your IRAs, you're pulling money out now because you're retired and you're 70 and a half. Of course, that income is generally taxable, obviously, because you had received a tax deduction in years past. There was a federal provision out there a few years ago that they've been kind of making every year. They pass it one more year, and they finally made it permanent, where if a person 70 and a half years old who doesn't itemize, they could elect to make that distribution directly to a nonprofit, like a church, foundation, etc., and not have to claim it as income. Now, for those who do not itemize, that's generally where, of course, you would get a deduction for a charitable, you know, contribution to your church, foundation, etc. So for those folks who do not itemize and have the ability to directly pass on their RMDs to their churches, that's a huge deal, one, federally, and two, in the past, Minnesota didn't allow that. So you were getting actually a taxable situation back to do that on Minnesota, which lessened the benefit. This is made permanent federal and now made permanent for the state. So that I think is a no-brainer. I'm glad they did it. Again, it's only for the folks 70 and a half or older. Those folks certainly are very philanthropic, as you know, Bill, and they certainly give a lot to their churches and to their communities, et cetera. So I think that's, out of all the things I saw, that was probably the biggest win. And again, still minor in the big picture, knowing it only impacts a segment of our population that's over 70 and a half.
What qualifications does that charity have to meet in order to be something that you can pass it on, the money on to?
It has to be a registered 501c3. That's the code under the IRS guidelines to officially make it a nonprofit that's allowable for a deduction. You're right, Bill, if you gave me part of your RMD as a person, that's not a qualified, obviously, organization, receive that. That'd be a gift, not a donation. There is a distinction, believe it or not, in the IRS tax code between a gift and a donation. Many of us use that term synonymously, but so you have to be a 501c3 to make that work officially for that, as well as other fraternal organizations as well. Okay. So that's the stuff that did get changed. Many people were hoping that the depreciation changes would be the same. A little history there. If you take Section 179, the first year write-off federally, you can do $500,000. Minnesota only allows $25,000. Hmm. Yeah, very big difference. As well as if you had bonus depreciation on new assets, you could take 50% of that first year as a write-off federal, and you could not do that for state. So a lot of our producers, business people, during some of the, you know, the economy years where they were, you know, buying equipment and doing things, were actually paying more Minnesota state tax than they were federal for this fact of the timing difference. The bad news is, Bill, that this remains exactly the same even after Governor Dayton signed that bill into law on January 13th. There are still the differences between federal and state depreciation. On the Minnesota side, you can take it. You aren't disallowed it. It just takes 5 years to get those deductions versus getting it all in year one. And you build up this Minnesota depreciation bank, if you will. And now our producers who are going into a tighter margin period and having less farm taxable income, there's these large Minnesota deductions out there for depreciation they are not getting the benefit of. They generated tax, and they're now not getting a benefit, and there's nothing we can do about it. So it's a big lose, in my opinion, on that one fact. And we have a humongous deficit out there, or not deficit, a surplus, I'm sorry, Bill, at the Minnesota state level, and they're not reducing the tax, and they're not looking at this as an option to maybe we could carry that even farther forward to help the farmer and the other business people do that. So it's disappointing, I hate to say, and I'm not trying to be all negative Nelly here, but it wasn't the big impact like I think they were preaching in the media.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then another thing that got tremendous coverage, and I don't know how many people are actually affected either, and those that were, you know, buying insurance in the private sector, they're going to get, what, some sort of help in paying their premiums from the state. It's a specified, I think, amount of money. Again, how many people really are being affected by that?
Well, and I don't know the number, obviously, but the state of Minnesota felt to be about 125,000 people in the state, the entire state of Minnesota, you know, out of what's our population, 12 million?
Maybe between 4 and 5 million.
Is that all it is? Yeah. Seriously, the whole state? I really blew that one, didn't I? Sorry, Bill.
Well, we're losing population in the rural areas, and they're all moving to the metro.
Why did I think it was 12 million? I don't know.
I think it's a little bit under 5, I think, but still, it's a lot of people.
I appreciate you correcting me, otherwise I'd have gotten a lot of grief when I got back to the office. So yeah, there isn't a lot of people benefiting, and the fact is, there's a lot of questions on this, and it's the health insurance premium relief bill that the legislators passed. It was a great step forward. It's only a one-year Band-Aid. It's only for 2017, and it is retro back to January 1. And you have to have purchased your health insurance on the individual market. Mm-hmm. And you also have not been able to receive the federal subsidy MNsure, if you will, that you cannot receive that subsidy either. So really, it's for folks who have greater, if you're single, over $47,000 of income, or married with two kids, over $97,000. And there's no income limit, which is good news there. I was worried they might limit that. So once you have bought your insurance on the individual market and you've got incomes over that level, then you will be able to get 25% of your health insurance premium back as a reduction in your health insurance bill. It's not a tax credit. It doesn't go through your tax return. I, as a CPA, do not handle that. It's going to be through your health insurance, you know, bill, your health insurance agent. So if you have questions on that, you need to discuss that with your health insurance agent, not your CPA. And hopefully that will be coming through in April-ish, maybe, I guess, March, April. So hopefully that will come through. But it's not a tax return credit. I had a lot of questions on that, saying, well, how does this new tax credit work for me and whatever? And it's just not, it's not running through your tax return this year. And I don't know how the government's going to pay attention to this. I don't know how they're going to track it, how they're going to monitor it. But it's going to be automatic, apparently, with your health insurance company.
Yeah, they'll be dealing with them, sending them a check or whatever, or giving them,
always makes me a little worried when the government's dealing directly with, you know, potentially another nonprofit like a Blue Cross Blue Shield. The individual never has any control over it. There's no way of monitoring it. So that I hope that works out like they are intending. But again, it's not very many of us who will probably qualify. In that last quarter of calendar 16, everybody was scurrying as fast as they could to even try to get health insurance. Mm-hmm. Our folks, our friends in Meeker County, hardly had any options available for individual. Right. So a lot of those guys got creative or got jobs so they could be part of a group plan, and now they don't get this benefit. So back to timing, Bill, where we started, how sometimes our governments are always about two steps, you know, behind and a day late and a dollar short. This is a classic example of where I think, you know, it's going to help. But again, it was a little too late. People were making decisions. And people were asking me about this relief. And what do you think? Should I still go with the individual market? You know, Bill, I only can plan on things I know. And unfortunately, governments let us down often many times. And I just couldn't let my clients plan on getting this rebate or this relief for this 1 year. And it is only for 1 year. We have no idea what the market's going to do, you know, subsequent to President Trump's, you know, executive order. How are they going to convert it? What will the individual market even do? I mean, I honestly do not see a Blue Cross, a Health Partners, whoever, suddenly going to reduce their premiums for whatever reason, 25%, because ACA goes away. I mean, we're still in a world of flux on health insurance, and that's on our topic today, and I'm starting to preach a little bit. I apologize, Bill, but that's the state of the union on that.
Well, a lot of people were even more important than the cost, which was very high, not able to see their doctor, or if they were engaged in a treatment, like a very serious cancer treatment or whatever, that they might not be able to continue that and have it covered by insurance with the provider, you know, like, for example, going to Mayo Clinic.
Exactly.
You know, that way they were going to ship them off to Sioux Falls instead. And a lot of people just, you know, they really thought that was unfair. And to me, I think there's some shenanigans that's been going on here. I think it's so obvious, but I don't think anybody that is going to pay the price other than the consumer once again in the long haul. I mean, they can fine these companies, and if there's collusion and things like that goes on, I don't know. I wish I could be, you know, you talk about being a skeptic. I certainly am on a lot of these things, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bill. I'm in your camp on this. You use the word shenanigans. You know, I hope nothing was going on purpose, but it sure feels like it, doesn't it?
It just feels like they were using people as pawns, you know, to try to make this as bad a situation as they could.
And drawing lines in the sand where if you live in Meeker County, you don't have any options, but you live in Canyon High, you have a few more. But again, like you said, a lot of the Mayo policies or the Rochester hospitals got rolled out.
Right.
Which everybody in the world in Minnesota knows, if I'm in the hurt bag when it comes to some kind of sickness, where do you go?
Exactly.
You head south. I mean, that's the best, you know, place in the world, not just our state, the world potentially, to have health care, and they just automatically take it out of the provision. And I know a lot of people didn't even realize that, and probably got policies that they got on, you know, maybe didn't get sold correctly, that we just removed the mail option for you, so good luck on that, and hopefully everything works out for you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it was the situation where I remember my dad always said, it's good insurance until you need it.
Right.
That's what he used to say with a lot of these things, you know, and, you know, granted, you are supposedly going to be covered in these catastrophic cases, but I don't know. It's a scary situation, and I'm sure you guys deal with that and a lot of these other kind of questions that people have, and maybe there isn't a clear answer, and it's the unknown that we're probably most afraid of a lot of times, you know.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So again, back to the health insurance, that is what that relief bill was about. It's just a one-year deal. It impacts a few of us, but make sure you pay attention for those of you who are on the individual market and feel that you would be deserving of this. Make sure you keep your insurance company honest and talk to your health insurance agent. Hopefully we'll get to see that stuff coming through here in the next couple months.
And we'll see what else. I know a lot of farmers were hoping that something could be done, too, with this, the tax situation on their property is so much higher than the adjoining states. And especially when it comes to these school referendums and things like that, at least a higher percentage falls on the farmland in many of these rural districts, because that's where most of the taxable land is, you know, or taxable revenue there.
Right. And have you heard lately, Bill? What's the status?
I haven't heard any more about it, you know.
I don't think it's gotten too much farther. I really believe there'll be some relief. I don't know when. It's unfortunate for our friends in the McRae District. I don't know what the right answer is there. They're very divided. I feel extremely bad for them. They have a hard decision to make. Unfortunately, I think all of us rural districts are going to face that exact same situation. And it's unfortunate that maybe the timing of that bill, if it does get passed, maybe wasn't sooner to either help that or make it a more education decision versus, God, my property taxes are going to completely kill me. Why should I do this? You know, so I mean, it'd be nice to make it a more balanced approach, you know, for that landowner. I totally agree. You know, myself, having been on the board at ACGC, we have things we got to do as well. And it's the same program there. We actually delayed some things because it'd be an unfair burden during a very tightening margin industry period that these producers are going through, and we just can't put our folks through that. And we're a very rural district, so we can't do that.
And that's one of the, I think, positives of trying to keep some of this control in the hands of the local, whether it's the township, the city, the school boards, because they do know, they have their hand on the pulse, they're living, you know, amongst
They're supposed to. You know, if you're doing your job, you better be on the pulse and be listening to your constituents. There's no question. So,
well, Joel, if people want more information, maybe get a good financial, we get our physical every year. This is probably a good time to get a checkup, too, on just the whole maybe business, perspective is what you're trying to accomplish and so forth. And a CPA is valuable in that. How can they reach Christensen?
So they can give us a call at 235-5937 or look to our website at christensencpa.com.
All right. Well, good to see you again. Yeah. And we'll hope for some good news from the legislature before they adjourn in May.
Let's hope and pray.
All right. Take
care. Thanks, Bill.
Yep. It is time now to rejoin the Linder Farm Network.